T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall. Up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
We go ham.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
I love everything that he says. I love the way that he talks about wanting to be a great player. The numbers will come for Khalil Mack. He will have really influential plays and great numbers, impact moments. I mean, the guy is unblockable. The guy has this relentlessness to him, this desire to be great, this will to be the best ever at his position. The very fact that he can mouth those words tells you that he has that capability and he wants to tap into it. I think he is going to be spectacular this year.
Mully and Hall.
I think they're kind of kindred spirits in a sense.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
And that said, I mean, everyone who's been down there has sort of come away with the same response and sort of interpretation of Mitch's practices. They haven't been overwhelming. They haven't been terrible. They haven't been great. The question is more Matt Nagy's scheme. Matt Nagy's offense is something that a lot of quarterbacks could win in. The Bears could win with a lot of people playing quarterback for them as long as Matt Nagy is the one structuring the offense and calling the plays. At this point of the development, the reason you have faith in the offense is more because of the play caller and the guy who designed the scheme and the guy executing the plays.
Mully and Hall.
It's a hell of a team.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are broadcasting from the Hyundai Score Studios. Test drive a new Hyundai. Get a $50 reward card. Terms apply.
So the White Sox have a doubleheader today. The Cubs go to Philadelphia. 3 games in Chicago baseball. How many victories?
Oh, boy.
How many victories? You got the Cubs tonight against the Phillies, 2 with the White Sox and the Astros.
Well, there'll be 3 victories.
Well,
I don't know.
From Chicago teams.
Oh, you got to clarify.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought I handled that pretty well.
You went to school in Rome. I figured you got that.
I dodged that pretty well.
Greinke and Gerrit Cole go
for
the Astros.
That's the problem. That's the problem. I like Dylan Cease and Ivan Nova's pitch better in the second half. And can the White Sox score? Can they get a run against
this team? They haven't
been
scoring lately.
No.
That's been a big problem. So I don't know if the Sox get swept, but it wouldn't shock me. I think the Cubs probably beat the Phillies because Jose Quintana, Mully, has been very good. And you look at his last 7 starts, the Cubs
He's been
a stopper. He's 6-0 with a 3.67 ERA in that span.
I said he's been their stopper, and you laughed earlier. You said that I was being some kind of creepy, sarcastic idiot. That's what you meant.
Did I say that?
I don't know if you said it out loud, but that's what I got.
I remember hearing him say it.
See?
I never.
You totally thought it. And now you just willfully agreed and moved on.
Stopper would be too strong. I wouldn't go that far.
You just did.
I sort of glossed over it because I didn't want to kind of.
You actually said he's been their stopper. You actually said that. You repeated it verbatim. Now you deny it.
He has been very good in that span. I don't know about stopper. He has been the stopper. He's been very good.
If they haven't
lost in his last 7 starts, he has stopped any losing streaks from beginning.
Yeah.
Or continuing. So I guess by definition, he has been their stopper. Very good. But they face Jason Vargas on lefty day. It's National Left-Hander Day. And he's 3-0 with a 3.95 in his previous 7 starts against the Cubs. So something's got to give.
Yeah. I'm still thinking about Houston. I'm still trying to figure out. Don't you, if you play a doubleheader, don't you win one of them? Isn't that just sort of it's very hard to win 2 games?
Which one would you guess? Nova?
Well, I think Cole wants to play there. He's really looking forward to next year more than this year, so he's probably going to throw a game in the Sox favor. What do you think?
Okay.
I think that...
Kevin, can the Sox win one of those
games? What's going to happen is...
No.
Greinke's going to be Greinke.
So the Cease
is going to have six really good innings, or six innings, five really good innings, okay, and one clunker. And tomorrow we're going to talk about how that's part of his development, and that's part of being a rookie. So they're going to lose that game. And then Nova is going to be surprisingly good against the Astros. And you're going to complain tomorrow about why they still have Nova and why they didn't trade him. And the Cubs are going to beat the Phillies. So I'm going to say the Sox are going to split, and the Cubs are going to beat the Phillies.
You got a split.
Yeah.
So it's two and one.
Yes, I'm saying two.
Okay.
And I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, I think you're delirious. I you know, Ricky's boys don't quit, or something that rhymes with that. It could be two no-hitters. Is that what would what if that happened? What if Cranky and then Cole no hit the White Sox?
It could happen.
And they, you know, the way that that Houston plays, they could have like six guys combined for a no hitter.
And I would call my sons, call my daughters, call your friends, call everybody, because you'd be seeing history at Guaranteed Rate Field on National Left Handers Day. Two right handers will be making history for the Astros.
I just don't see the Sox scoring a lot of runs.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't either.
They've managed three runs in three games, right?
Nova's been very good.
All right.
I also like the stats. You can get some of these, you know, since we're going to go next level metrics here.
Okay.
Nick Castellanos against Jason Vargas lifetime, 22 at bats, has two home runs.
That's because he's not at that horrible ballpark in Detroit, Delgardi.
There might be something to that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Len Casper brought out the stat about all the barrels and...
We could talk about the Cubs game, but I would rather talk about next year's White Sox. They open at home against the Royals, so they're in Guaranteed Rate Field on March 26th.
Sure they will.
42 degrees is the average temperature in Chicago on March 26th.
So let's say scheduled to open the season on March 26th.
You going?
I'm in, Kevo. I always want to go. I love the opener. It's a very important game to go to. But my point is, instead of talking about whether they can beat the Houston Astros this year, let's talk about beating the Royals next year. I think they got a chance. Who is the starter in that game?
Who starts opening day for the White Sox 2020?
Lucas Giolito. He's their ace.
Well, he would probably be the guy most deserving.
But they won't play the game because it's 42 degrees?
That probably won't happen. The guy starting tonight for the Astros against the White Sox, Garrett Cole.
He'll be the opening day starter next year on the South Side. That would be awesome.
I said in a perfect world, that would be your ideal scenario, right? If Garrett Cole is starting for the White Sox on opening day 2020.
I got a feeling Garrett Cole is going to be starting for the Yankees in the Field of Dreams game next August 26th or whatever it is.
There is more of a chance of Mitch Trubisky throwing 50 touchdowns this year than there is the White Sox signing Garrett Cole.
No, there's not.
It's a team that just traded Nate Jones to save $1.5 million. You think they're going to give Garrett Cole $200 million?
I think they're going to sign a free agent in this offseason that is the richest contract they've ever given out. Yes.
Well, they should have done that last year when Manny Machado was available.
They tried.
Did they?
Well, they sort of tried. Sort of, kind of, maybe. But Kevbo, they are going to go out and spend some money this winter in free agency.
Jerry really stepped up.
They have to pursue a pitcher that is a potential top-of-the-rotation guy. I don't know that they're going to be able to pull it off, because I think there'll be other suitors for Garrett Cole. But a man can dream.
Yeah, okay. Giolito will open for the Sox. That's what I'm going with. I think they've found themselves a star pitcher. They found a guy that can pitch in the major leagues. They found a guy that has a clue as to what he's doing. He seems to have figured it out. It takes some guys longer than other guys. He seems to be pitching extremely well. Even getting the 13 strikeouts and a loss is a pretty impressive performance. He's had a pretty great year thus far, and I think learning to pitch in the big leagues, you know, he hasn't stopped pitching well, when he hasn't won.
You kind of get on me sometimes when I get ahead of myself. I think calling Lucas Giolito a star at this point is probably getting a little ahead of yourself. Okay. I like the idea.
He was an all-star this year.
True.
How can I not call him a star?
Okay.
Why can't I call him a star?
You can. I'm going to be a little bit more reluctant to assign star status to.
You think he will go backward next year? That's what you're saying.
Well, I think he had a really dominant first half of this season, and I think he has come back to earth a little bit in the second half of the year. And so he's somewhere in between. I don't know that he's going to be a star number ace type guy. I think that when you look at the White Sox rotation, and I agree with him from this degree, I don't know about if I'd go as strong as he did on Sunday when he was talking about the future, but when you have Kopech and you have Cease and you have Giolito, that's a really promising 1-2-3 combination. And then when you have add Ronaldo Lopez, and then to me a free agent to be named later, that's a rotation that you could get excited about in 2020.
I think Giolito is the starter, the number one starter. I think Lopez is going to be their number two starter. I think that Kopech and Cease will be 3 and 4. Now, will that shift and change over the course of the year or in another year? Perhaps. But I think going into next year, I think Ronaldo has proven he's had a little bit of a bounce back in the second half, and he's proven that he, too, has learned how to pitch a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's about learning on the job. I don't know that Kopech, with all his talent and all his stuff, I don't know that he's going to come back from an injury, step on the mound, and dominate. And I think Cease, you are seeing the same thing. I think Cease is going to be a good pitcher, but I don't know that he doesn't need more time to figure it out. And to you know, it's going to be maybe, what, 21 instead of 20? Where
but,
you
but
see
you're
them
not suggesting
getting it together?
That Giolito and Lopez as a pair have a brighter future than Cease and Kopech as a pair.
I think
you just sort of described that.
I think next year they do.
You think that next year that you can count on Giolito and Lopez
yes.
more than you can the tandem
yes.
of Cease and Kopech?
I think the experience.
That's interesting.
I think the experience of pitching in the major leagues will make them a better duo than the other two who are still learning how to pitch in the major leagues. It doesn't mean they don't have great stuff. What are you laughing at?
Some smart Alex says, I'll call Lucas Giolito a star in the next segment. I'll change my mind.
Now, Giolito, ninth best pitcher in all of baseball this year by Fangraphs wins above replacement. Higher than, you know, names such as Strasburg and Zach Greinke,
well, Kevin,
as a matter
with
of fact.
Due respect, I'm giving him credit for this year. I think that
with due respect, you shot him down.
It sounds like you're shooting him down.
I'd like to see it
you're
happen
very
again.
Bearish.
So last year was he was one of the worst starters in baseball. This
he was
year,
the worst.
He's been one of the top 10
yeah.
by that statistical measure. So next year, let's see what you got. I think next year may be the truest
measure. I guess what I'm saying is I feel, and Kevin, feel free to jump in if you want.
I always do.
I feel that he has made a step, that's the breakthrough, that you need the breakthrough. And how old is Giolito? He's
25, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's going to be better. He's going to be better than he was this
I
year.
I hope that
year.
He has had that Jake Arrieta transformation. I hope that he has become the guy to the White Sox that Arrieta was to the Cubs. Maybe not to that degree, but
yeah,
certainly taking the step forward and changing the course of your career, like Arrieta did when he went from the Orioles
right.
to
he
the
became,
Cubs.
He became a really dominant – he became the best pitcher in baseball for a year or two.
Okay, but –
and I don't know that it's fair to ask Giolito to do that, but I think he's the White Sox best pitcher right now, and I think that'll hold up next year. And hopefully – guys like Cease and Kopech get better than him. That would be really good.
I hope you're right. And if a year from now we're talking about Lucas Giolito being better than Cease and Kopech, I guess I'll be mildly surprised is all I'm saying.
You really don't like Ronaldo. That's where I've lost
I do him. Like Ronaldo. I wrote the story about him trading in his, you know, his grandfather trading a calf for his first catcher's mitt or something like that. I mean, he's a great story.
A great story you remember very well.
Lopey.
It's something like that.
All right.
He traded cattle for a glove.
Boy, I'll tell you what. If Giolito, if he ends up bombing after this, oh, my God. I don't even want to talk about it. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, Les. Great show.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. We are broadcasting from the Hyundai Score Studios. Test drive a new Hyundai. Get a $50 reward card. Terms apply.
You have shamed me into explaining the context of the Ronaldo Lopez background because I did not have it at the tip of my tongue or right at my disposal, but over the break, the story goes that when he was growing up in the Dominican Republic, his grandfather traded two cows for a bat, a ball, and a glove. And it wasn't a catcher's
mitt. It wasn't a catcher's mitt, or something like that?
Okay, I don't know where I got the catcher's mitt, but in my head I thought it was a catcher's mitt. But the exchange, he was using a cardboard-constructed glove before that, and his grandfather took him shopping one day and traded two cows for the glove. And that's how he began his baseball career. And he's come a long way since then. He's a great story. I think he's going to be a terrific pitcher for the White Sox. He's had a good turnaround year. Probably in an ideal scenario, next year he is your fourth starter or your fifth starter.
Let's get to the phone lines.
Is that better?
312-644-6767. No. John. It's weirder. John is in Evergreen Park. Good morning, John.
Hi, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Molly, I don't know how you think that they're going to spend money on Gerrit Cole when they didn't even buck up for Machado.
Yeah, I never said they're – I mean, when I say that, it's tongue firmly in cheek. I believe I said that I thought Gerrit Cole would start the Field of Dream game for the Yankees. So I think the problem, John, is the amount of – the number of teams, the amount of big money teams, maybe even the Cubs – that are going to be involved in trying to get Gerrit Cole, and correctly, I think he's a really good pitcher, and he's going to get a lot of money. I think the Sox will offer him money. I think they'll try to get him, but I think it's going to be too little, too late. I think the thing about Machado that is just so embittering is that the team that beat you out for him was San Diego. When again are you going to be in a free agent period where you have no Yankees, you have no Dodgers, you have no Cubs, you have no big money teams bidding on the guy? If you can't outbid San Diego, then I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're going to get anybody.
And next year, as a Sox fan, you have to watch the White Sox go into San Diego and play the Padres and Fernando Tatis Jr. at Petco Park.
Yeah.
You want the dates, of course, in case you're planning that trip. Yeah. I know May 11th to the 13th where you'll be.
Yeah.
In San Diego, you can on James Shields Day. Sorry.
How many cows were traded for the baseball glove?
Why don't you like that story?
It's a tremendous narrative. I think it's a great story. It's just when you first told it, you said he offered a cow for a catcher's mitt or something like that. And again, it's something like that burned into your memory.
It was the bat and the ball.
Okay.
Something like that.
All right.
Yeah. Baseball-related equipment.
Hey, the Bears have waived wide receiver Emmanuel Hall.
They did. That's interesting.
Not to interrupt a great narrative.
No. That's a little surprising. He's a guy. He's a Missouri undrafted free agent with speed to burn.
Well, and I have some breaking news for you.
And we have it there. The Bears have gone ahead and waived a guy.
Did they add somebody?
I don't know. I don't have all the information. I just have what is written on the screen.
Oh, okay. You have incomplete information?
Thank you.
Or something?
I am.
They waived them or something? Okay.
I didn't say
all
that.
Right.
Don't be, what's the word, like deflecting your issue by throwing it on me. I am giving you the breaking news that wide receiver's been waived. It's a developing story. We have the first part of it. Who did they sign? We don't have that yet. But the fact of the matter is that you look at it, they're going to have to waive people as you move forward, David. That's how this works.
They
got to whittle down the roster. They got a lot of wide receivers in camp. You got a lot of guys that are at that position that you feel pretty good about. So it's... Again, we're talking about a situation with the Bears where, and it's a rarity, where this is not your last stop in the NFL like it used to be. This is not, if you don't make our team, believe me, we're never going to hear about you. This is a possibility of guys getting cut that may go ahead.
And I think that's probably doing the kid a favor, because if you cut him now, maybe he gets a chance to make an impression with another team with the preseason game still yet to play. He has speed. I don't know about his hands. I don't know about his willingness to go across the middle. That was always a concern about why he maybe wasn't drafted, because he had quite a productive career at Missouri, so you wish him well. But I don't know what the next move is. But they juggle the roster a lot, right?
I feel bad for Bigsy because he loves those Mizzou guys.
He does.
As a man who went to Missouri, earlier in the show, he said you could do a lot better than Chase Daniel.
He's a big Chase Daniel guy.
Well, he went to Mizzou. He's a big Mizzou guy.
So are you saying that Biggs lets that sort of affect his coverage?
No. I'm saying that that he has real fondness for his alma mater. That's what
okay.
I'm saying. So even though this guy's gone, I said that Brad will feel bad about
Mully
it.
Mully accuses Biggs of Mizzou bias? Is that the headline?
Go again.
I'm just saying.
And I have some breaking news for you.
I don't do this to you. I don't try to misinterpret you.
No,
purposely.
Not at all.
Never. I would never do anything like that. I'm too. Yeah. Breaking news on the score is powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. And we're going to get to a scoreboard update with Kevbo, who is a good friend of mine. And draw your own conclusions, David.
Uh-huh.
And a podner of mine. We do a podcast together.
And then we'll talk to Mike Florio.
And then we will. We're going to bring in Mike Florio. There are so many great NFL stories, like weird, fun, you know, guys with frozen feet and guys with giant helmets, and they painted them. It's fun. We'll talk to Mike Florio about it next.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
FootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
He got game! He gets better and better!
He got better!
He got
BB!
NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Mike Florio joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, Mike.
Doing great. Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing wonderful. Boy, I saw the news about Andrew Luck, Jim Mercy revealing that he has a bone injury. Boy, that is bad news.
Well, and it's still very vague. And how does it get to the point where it takes them that long to figure out what's wrong? They've been saying it's a calf strain. He had three different MRIs. They clearly were having a hard time diagnosing the problem. Now that they know there's a bone issue in that calf, number one, I don't know what that means. I don't know how long it takes to heal. But here we are, 3 weeks and change away from the regular season opener. And I don't know if Andrew Luck's going to be ready to go. And you look at how banged up he's been the past few years. You really have to wonder. He turns 30 on September 12th, I believe. You just wonder, as time goes by and he starts to creep beyond that 30th birthday, will there be more injuries or fewer? And I think history tells us that as the guy gets older, and we all know this, so you're going to get more banged up more quickly than you did in the past. And it just doesn't bode well for Andrew Luck's future that he continues to have these injury issues.
It's a shame because that's a good team. Boy, if he's healthy, that's a very good Colts team, but you just don't know, Mike, and you put it well. The questions outnumber the answers at this point concerning his health. Looking at the Raiders, though, that's one of the weirder stories in the league. Antonio Brown expected to be back on the facility today to apparently get a new helmet, or is he going to wear the one that he has to wear, or what's the status with his helmet situation?
Well, once the arbitrator ruled yesterday that he can't wear his Shut Air Advantage helmet that is more than 10 years old and therefore cannot be recertified by the NOCSAE, I started to dig around a little bit at the behest of a reader. And I had a reader who just decided to get contact with the guy who runs the NOCSAE. And it turns out, and I'll try to make a long story bearable, if Antonio Brown can find a Shut Air Advantage helmet that is less than 10 years old, if it's discontinued sometime around 2011, maybe a little bit earlier, but if he can find one less than 10 years old, the NOCSAE says they will consider it for recertification, and if it can be recertified, the NFL will let him wear it. So he lost the war but may still win the battle and be able to wear, if he can find one, an Air Advantage until that one is more than 10 years old, And either way, the clock is ticking because they discontinued it at some time in the past 8 or 9 years. So he's not going to be able to wear the air advantage for very long, but he may be able to get through this year and maybe one more season if he can just go out and find one. And I'm told that Brown is now actively looking for a shut air advantage that is less than 10 years old and that will fit him.
You know, what about his feet? I mean, that's the damnedest story I think I've ever heard, that he went in, he didn't wear the shoes, and he went into one of these places and got frostbite. That's insane.
Well, yeah, there's so many theories, too. Is the frostbitten feet a deflection to the helmet issue? Is the helmet issue a deflection to the frostbitten feet?
Right.
Like, how do all these different crazy layers come together? And yesterday, when the arbitrator ruled against him on that grievance, he said, well, I disagree with the decision. And then instead of saying, I respect it and I'll comply with it, he says, I'm trying to get myself healthy so I can return to the practice field. So this is by no means a minor injury. They've characterized it as a day-to-day thing. This is a serious condition he's had. He put the photo of the disgusting layers of skin off of the bottom of his feet on social media a week and a half ago. And this is the thing about, you know, if anybody out there thinks Hard Knocks is a reality show or a documentary or anything that actually shows the true, unvarnished, transparent life in the NFL, it's an infomercial. They are only going to show us what they want to show us. In that first episode, they mentioned that he's got an issue with his feet and he's out there running around, but they don't say what it is. And I'm going to be fascinated tonight to see how much they tell us about what actually has been going on with Antonio Brown. I have a feeling that whatever they tell us, there's going to be a lot more that they don't tell us, because they're the ones who are producing it and they're the ones who are deciding how to put this all together in a way that doesn't make Antonio Brown or the Raiders look bad.
Mike, nice job having PFT shoot down the report that Dak Prescott was seeking $40 million a year. That seemed to be exaggerated from the beginning. And yet $30 million seems to be a little more realistic in the range that negotiations might be centered around. What are your expectations with those negotiations, and is he worth it?
Well, and you know, it is sad that it's gotten to the point where the Cowboys feel compelled to paint him as greedy and characterize him in a way that may cause the fans to think differently, because I think that's the game that these teams play when they become exasperated mm-hmm. by the demands that have been made against them. And I just feel like the Cowboys don't know how to sort these problems out. I don't know if it's just like players negotiate differently than they used to, but they're not getting their way with these three players. And here's the thing with Dak Prescott. Ask yourself this. Right now, does he deserve the same contract that Jimmy Garoppolo got from the 49ers? And think about how many games Garoppolo played and how much success he had, how durable he was. Garoppolo got 5 years, $27.5 million a year when he signed that new deal with the 49ers. Would you give Dak Prescott that contract right now?
Yeah, you know, I probably would for sure.
He's
right?
accomplished more.
Yeah.
I mean, based on that, you would have to, and I know contracts are about future more than they are the past, but still, you'd have to say yes.
And here's how the way that the NFL and the NFLPA looks at contracts and values contracts, here's how it gets screwy. If you give Dak Prescott 5 years, $27.5 million right now, meaning you tear up his remaining contract that's due to pay out $2 million, the way that gets characterized by the NFLPA, the way that gets reported by folks in the industry, the way it gets pushed by the agents, that gets characterized as a deal worth $33.8 million per year in new money. So that's where you get a disconnect here. So, you know, hey, if he wants $34 million a year, that sounds like a lot, but you know what? If you give him the Jimmy Garoppolo contract right now, it becomes $34.8 million per year in new money, because that $2 million he was due to make this year gets subsumed within that contract. So a lot of these numbers, you got to understand the broader context. I think in a heartbeat, you give him the Jimmy Garoppolo deal, and if it becomes $33.8 million in new money, so be it. That's where the ball is moving right now. It doesn't set a new bar above what Russell Wilson is getting at $35 million per year in new money. But I think that's what the Cowboys should do. It would be a very easy negotiation. And they just don't want to do it because they think there is extra value in being the Cowboys' starting quarterback. But good luck getting Dak Prescott's agents to agree with that.
You know, we talked earlier in the week about the Bears, yesterday, about the Bears' failure to make a trade. They were in negotiations with Baltimore for Kerry Vedvik and offered a conditional fifth-round pick. Now, we know they don't have a ton of draft capital. And the Vikings then offered a fifth-round pick, and the Bears didn't get a chance to counteroffer or do anything else. That the Ravens wanted a fifth-round pick, and they got one without any conditions, and they made a deal. But we've been wondering what that means to Elliott Fry and Eddie Pinheiro, and I guess Pinheiro has told the team's website that it's exhausting going through this process because of the scrutiny and feeling like you're going to get cut. I got to tell you, you know, if I'm them and they're willing to trade a fifth-round pick, conditions included, I'd be a little bit worried. It makes you feel like they don't have the kicker on the roster and the Bears know it.
Well, and the fact that the guy is saying it publicly tells me that he doesn't have that overall mental makeup that you're going to need to deal with the scrutiny. Because, look, 3 weeks and 2 days from now, we're going to be in Chicago for Packers-Bears, and at some point they're going to line up and try a field goal. And Al Michaels is going to talk about all the issues with the Bears trying to find a kicker, and everybody's going to know that, hey, can this guy make a kick? I mean, whoever has that obligation is going to be carrying that weight of expectation, and if you can't deal with the pressure, then maybe you're not the right answer. And I think the Bears will keep looking. The Vikings may have Dan Bailey available. Yeah, do a trade in the division and get him. I mean, I think you turn over every possible stone to try to find the right kicker who can handle that pressure and show up week one and every week of the season. So many of these games are close. So many of them are one score. So many games. Look, there was an NFC Championship game, Patriots-Broncos. If Steven Gostkowski doesn't miss an extra point in the first half, the Patriots may have, you know, be in, what, four or five straight Super Bowls that they've appeared in now. So, you know, kickers have a huge influence on the outcome of games, and I think it's critical that the Bears keep trying to improve that position.
You mentioned Dan Bailey, Mike, and I know you probably, you know, backup kickers aren't necessarily sexy guys to pay attention to during training camp, but Cole Hedlund is out there from the Colts. You know, Joey Sly is a guy from the Panthers. Any other backup kickers of note that the Bears might be showing some interest in?
Yeah, you know, I have to admit I'm not up on my depth charts when it comes to NFL kickers. You know what? Here's something to keep in mind, because I know what the XFL is planning to do when it comes to quarterbacks. As soon as the rosters get cut from 90 down to 53, they're going to make a play for some of the third and fourth string quarterbacks to get them to commit to the XFL and not be available for NFL teams. You just got to wonder if the XFL is going to try to do the same thing and gobble up some of the NFL kickers and say, hey, here's guaranteed employment for next year. You got to sign now and you got to take yourself out of the mix for NFL jobs. So maybe some of those guys that would have been available middle of September, end of October, whatever the case may be, if you keep spinning the wheel, they're just not going to be there, which could put a lot of pressure on teams who aren't happy with the guys that they have and they're looking for an alternative. Some of those guys may already be committed to the XFL by then.
All righty, Michael. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate catching up with you.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Good talking to you guys.
That is Mike Florio. What does it tell you when you see that, David, when you see a guy that...
What Eddie Pinheiro tells the team website that it's exhausting, the process, yeah. I think he's honest. I think he's also a guy that's a little outspoken. He's the one who said that he got traded for pennies on the dollar, or wasn't he, or peanuts or something to that degree. He's very honest about what he feels about his own talents and abilities. You like that confidence at the same time. Yeah, you worry. You worry about a guy if he's exhausted mentally by this competition. What's he going to be like under pressure? That's what it reveals to me, probably.
Listen, the very fact that they're in the Carrie Vedvick conversation means they know. They know that they have a problem.
That's an uncomfortable spot to be in.
Yeah.
So I'll ask you this. A year ago at this time, were the Bears more settled at kicker than they are right now?
Yes, they were a lot more settled because they thought they had the guy in Cody Parkey. They thought they had gone out and made the move and spent the money to fix the problem. And unfortunately, so they felt good about the position going into camp. And then unfortunately, as time went on, he obviously got this bizarre, I don't even know what, I've never seen anything like that, where you're hitting a post. It's almost like if you aimed, you couldn't do that. How many times did he do it? Seven times? Something crazy like that in games? I mean, how is that humanly possible?
And then at the worst possible time in a playoff game, and then he compounds that kind of that problem with going publicly on national television to talk about it, which I think guaranteed the fact that he couldn't come back.
Well, see, that was the real problem. You know, it made him look like he was some attention-seeking guy that was going to parlay his issue into some, you know, national attention. Whether that was the case or not, you got to run that by the group.
Would he still be here if he didn't do that?
I mean, I told you, I would have, out of bitterness, waited till the last minute. But, you know, I also thought maybe he would have been the best guy. But no one picked him up.
You said that after he got cut, and you said maybe he would be the best guy. And I didn't think that we would be in a situation where the Bears have played one preseason game and they have a competition and they're trying to trade for backup kickers on other rosters, where we might be inclined to agree with that. Because when you look at what the Bears have and how unsettled they have admitted by being, and this is an acknowledgement of that, if you're going after backup kickers on other rosters, you don't feel good about the guys you have.
But again, I think that the difference this year to last year is they had made such a financial commitment that they didn't feel they could replace Parkey, and they did feel obliged to hang on to him beyond this year because of the money he was due.
Mm-hmm.
And so, unfortunately, they ended up staying with him too long, and it bit them in the rear end. Let's be honest about it. And if they hadn't done that, if they brought in another kicker, maybe they would have advanced in the playoffs.
He's
maybe
not a candidate, is he? He's not a candidate, is he?
I don't think he is, no. Do you?
No.
Yeah. No, I think that him going on the Today Show, that was it. Or was it Today Show? Or was it the ABC show? Whatever. It was the Today Show.
Yeah.
When that decision was made, that basically ended his Bear career. And I think, you know, they were still smarting over the whole thing. And I remember Matt Nagy being pretty miffed about that one.
He was. Miffed is a good word.
Yeah.
You know, I just looked up that Antonio Brown picture of his feet. It wasn't that bad, actually.
Well,
I was expecting worse. I mean, I had a picture of President Trump and John Daly pop up on my timeline today, which was about 10 times worse than anybody's feet.
Okay.
Like a couple of gross 300-pounders on the golf course.
That sounds like Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. Let's
transition is next.
Thank you. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.